Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome all you boys and girls and men and women of all places and times and locations. I am so happy you gave me, are giving me, and trusting me with a half an hour of your life and time, and I promise to give you as much as I know how about the subject of love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love easily become BS. Now, BS is a lot of things, but for the sake of my theme here, it is bait and switch. Bait and switch is really an exhausting way to live life because then we're constantly baiting people into some product or relationship or you name it, whatever. We bait them in and then we switch back to our authentic life. That becomes betrayal. But what love does for us is it gives us a reason to be alive, and that's my subject for today, a reason to be alive. Please stay tuned for this. I feel this down to my bones, all right? So before we get to the subject du jour for this broadcast, I like to do a few things to set up the solidity of what we're about to do with Love's Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Love's Creed is something I wrote, and you know the Lord's Prayer is something Jesus spoke, and the authors of the Gospels recorded it. And for hundreds of years, even a couple of thousand years now, we've been saying those words that Christ taught us to pray. My creed is just a little bit more contemporary than that, just a tiny bit, because I wrote it about 10 years ago. As a New Year's resolution, which for this time of year right now, we're coming into the landing of Advent into Christmas on just about a week from now. Actually, a week from today is Christmas here in 2024. And to that end, I wrote this as a New Year's resolution about 10 years ago, and it's become for me a creed. It's also a creed that I want to offer you. So if you'd like a copy of this, you could send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all lowercase letters, all one word, at Gmail. I would be delighted to send you a copy. And no bait and switch, no BS. I'd be happy to send the copy with no strings attached. At any rate, let's start with that. So let me read it in total to start with, kind of give you the feel for the rhythm and rhyme of it all. And then we'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. All right? Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now that you've got the scope of it, you probably, if you've been here before, you already do. But if you're new, now you know where we're going to go. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Those words are like a very simple song for my own heart. And I would hope that for some of you, they've become your own song, your own little prose or poem that can help carry you through a day, carry you through a tough moment or a tough patch in a relationship, whether it be your significant other, your marriage, your friends, your neighbors, whoever it may be. Love's Creed can help you settle something inside of you before you ever try to settle something in other people. All right, let's go to the Lord's Prayer, shall we? Now, I am aware that many of you know the Lord's Prayer, but I'm also equally aware that some of you don't know it by heart, and I bear no shame toward anybody in those either category. The Lord's Prayer was never something to memorize and just kind of clap your hand to it, and we do a children's song. The Lord's Prayer was offered by Jesus as a concrete place to stand in life, a prayer for our inner formation, and a prayer for the vision of our world around us. So if you know it, you can certainly join with me. If you don't know it, just listen in. Try to gather in the words the best way you can, because now I want to pray with you in the manner in which Christ our Lord taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." For me, those words are so settling. I know there are grander vistas about that, as in the kingdom of God coming to earth on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. But I also know it has this beautiful simplicity of settling my mind and my soul. Well, into that regard, I want to talk to you today about a reason for living. A reason for living, which is, you could guess what I will say, the reason for living is love. Love is the reason for being. We may have different gifts and talents and callings. You may be an artist, you may be a musician, and you may be fantastic at it. Your skills may leave people with their mouth gaping in awe. Or your skills may be soothing and entertaining. Whatever the case may be, those things are not a reason to live. Those things can be taken from us. Those things can be lost in some form. Those things can be adjusted one way or the other. I want to propose to you that a reason for living is love. A reason to exist is love. I don't exist to make money, though I do make money. I don't exist to take care of the maintenance of my home or even the maintenance of this radio broadcast. I do it and I love doing it. But my reason for living is larger than maintenance, larger than a paycheck. It's larger than just trying to get by in this challenging world and life we call the earth. I exist to love. I want to share something from you from a book that I just got called The Restorative Power of Love. Actually, the title really is The Restorative Power of Love by Felicia Morrell. This book comes highly recommended by a variety of people, and I read so much about it, I just decided I needed it. And so I have her book right here in my hand, and in her preface, she sets the stage for what I'm sharing here today and what I've been sharing here on this broadcast for over 5 years. And that is this: the significance of my existence isn't attached to lofty purposes or high calling. I exist to love. I exist to receive love as a continuous experience in my heart, to live in it, and to give it away to others. Now, right there, her preface, a few sentences into her preface, she establishes a reason to live. This is something I've been pounding away here for, as I just said, 5 years or more, that the reason for life isn't a job. The reason for life isn't contention with others to win over somebody in our debates and our arguments and our political strivings and our religious battles, our doctrinal wars. None of that is a reason to exist. And if we devolve into those reasons, then our life becomes this, philosophical cavity. And I mean that in the context of, if you've ever had a bad cavity in a tooth, you know you work around it. You know the pain is there. You know how to avoid it when you're eating substantive food. But that cavity is there, and it's going to hurt you one way or another. And someday or another, you're going to have it fixed. To that end, when we live on any other level than love, if we exist for argument, debate, to win, to battle, culture wars, all those things that have been a substitute for love, all of those things will just become an emotional, psychological cavity. And your soul, your mind, your being will be raw. You'll like with a tooth cavity, you'll have to learn to eat around it. You'll have to learn to live around it. And as such, life just gets very harsh and cold and cruel. I exist to love, Felicia Morel says. I exist to receive love as a continuous experience in my heart and to live in it and give it away to others. Now, I want to spend the rest of this broadcast in just those few words. I exist to love as a continuing experience in my heart. Let's full stop there for a moment. As an experience in my heart, to know that I am deeply, profoundly, authentically, realistically loved, that who I really am, who I really live with in myself, I often tell people, the one person you talk to most is you. Some religious people who want to impress us say, well, I talk to God more than I talk to any other human being, and I just say, no, you don't. We are all talking to ourselves more than we talk to God, more than we talk to others. We're having an ongoing, unbroken conversation with ourselves. Now, if in that unbroken conversation with ourselves, if we are not on some significant and real level, authentically in love and experiencing love for ourselves and in ourselves, for ourselves and in ourselves, then we're back to the cavity pain I was talking about earlier. We are here to experience love, full stop, in ourself, full stop. To experience love, to be adored, to be cherished, to find inside of yourself, I would hope that you know that the love of God is high, it's deep, it's wide, it's profound, it's outrageously mysterious, and yet it is what it is, what it is, what it is, and it is thoroughly, deeply, profoundly love for you. Love for me. I like to tell people I didn't come to God through faith. I came to faith and God through love. Faith grew later. In fact, I spent an inordinate amount of time as a young man wrestling with what I was being told was the formula of my salvation, which is a whole other subject and an unfortunate misunderstanding of salvation. But I nevertheless struggled with my salvation because I couldn't tell people what date it was I prayed the prayer to get saved, to be a Christian. I didn't have that. I didn't have a moment. I didn't have one moment where I walked down in front of a church and shook a preacher's hand and knelt at the altar and quote-unquote gave my life to Christ. I didn't have that. What I knew in those days in high school for me was that I was profoundly confused and psychologically bruised and I realize now in retrospect deeply wounded. But I was fighting for my life, and I was hearing these messages in a very loving church, albeit kind of stodgy in their doctrinal approach, like they did insist that you come forward and have an experience where you shook the preacher's hand. But regardless, there were good things there, and one of the good things that was in that church in my high school experience was that we could experience love. And in fact, an older gentleman in that church had a dream about me and came and told me that God told him to tell me, "I love you." You know, when I think of this man, he was a Nazi in World War II. He was a German Nazi in World War II, and after the war, he immigrated to the United States, found faith in Christ, and became this great loving human being. To that end, I think he was in his early 80s, he found me coming in and out of that church and decided he was going to love me and decided that he was going to lead me to Christ. And I know that was his paradigm, but he never led me to Christ. He never prayed the prayer of salvation. He didn't. And maybe that was on purpose. I don't know. But what I do know is that he had a dream where God said to him, "I love him. Now you go tell him I love him and that you love him too." Well, here's this 80-year-old man. I'm 17-ish. And he's telling me, and I can hear his German accent, "I love you." Well, it flattened me. I mean, deliciously, profoundly, confusingly, it flattened me. I was struck by lightning. So that's what I'm talking about here, is to have an experience of love. Now, I don't want to go any further into that whole notion, but I'm giving credit here to the experience I had early on in my following of Christ, which wasn't a salvation prayer, but it was a nighttime dream that a man came and said God told him to tell me I was loved. Isn't that beautiful? I just wish for everybody listening to me that you would have something similar. No, I don't want it to be replicated or packaged. Well, then it loses its power. But I hope that everybody would find some moment in this life, in this hurry up, run, chase, bruised, bashed, trip and fall world, that you know and you are experiencing love with a capital L. That's how I came. That's how I came to embrace God, to embrace Jesus. That's how I landed in a Bachelor of Science program for ministry. That's how I landed in 50 years of being a pastor. It started in love. It didn't start by somebody winning a theological or doctrinal argument with me. It would have never worked. But love works. Love never fails. To experience love on the inside, I pray right now you're having some stirring. Something in you is stirring to say, "Dear child, oh baby girl, oh baby boy, my precious child, my dearest little one, I love you." I pray your heart finds a stir right there wherever you are listening to me. Maybe you're in a car. Maybe you're sitting in your office or your bedroom or your living room and you're listening to this on your phone or computer. Whatever the case may be, I pray you have a stirring. I pray that your heart flutter a little bit when it hears the words it's longing for. Baby girl, baby boy, precious child, sweet baby of mine, I love you. And the voice of God thunders in a whisper. The voice of God comes roaring through the silence to say to you, you are deeply, wonderfully loved. Felicia Morel's book went on to say, "I exist to receive love as a continuing experience in my heart, to live in it and give it away to others." Now there's the rub, isn't it? That's what I call the heavy lifting of love, to give it away to others. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we say you cannot keep what you do not give, because the more we give, the more we hold and treasure what we've been given. It is to receive more by giving more. You cannot keep what you do not give. And frankly, I think as as I just said, about this genuine experience internally of love being fired in your soul. I simply believe it's near impossible. It's near impossible to fail to give it away. If it's that real, it will be that real coming from your actions, your words, your attitudes, your behaviors. Love will become your breath, your eating, your sleeping, and it'll become just as we've talked earlier in Love's Creed. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. And why is that? Because I've experienced it. Because it's come to roost inside of me. It has taken up a home in me. The book of Ephesians, Paul says that you would know the love of God that is beyond knowing. And the word knowing there in the book of Ephesians is intellectual knowledge. That you would know what you can't know. That you would know by experience. That you would know this lightning flash that isn't just one flash, but it's multiple lightning strikes. That gives you this grounded power of love inside, so that you're not only existing to experience love, but you're existing now with that experience to live it out in reality all around you, everywhere you go, any situation you're in, the good situations and the bad ones, the irritating situations and the less than irritating, the normal and even the boring experiences, that you find in yourself a love that can be transmitted before the watching world around you. I've been a pastor, as I've said way too many times. I've been a pastor for half a century and spent a lot of days and hours of my life in front of people, preaching, teaching, leading services. I loved all of that. I really did. It was a treasure to be trusted that way. But what I know is this, is that the greater experience, the greater giving, the greater ministry of love through me and from me, while it happened in sermons, it has happened far more in my life, in my living. I love people. I don't have an off switch. Oh, I have a challenge switch that comes on when people challenge me, when somebody betrays me, when somebody lies about me, when somebody unfairly criticizes me, when somebody takes a pot shot at me, when somebody doesn't have Love's Creed in their life where they are eating, sleeping, and breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. There are people like that. I know that. I've been one of them, and I know some of them. They're here to get energy back so they can give you a little more pain in the katushi. But whatever the case is, I've simply decided that my love experience has no off switch. I exist to experience love. I exist to give love. And again, as I know the experience, I know it's going to cause a giving of love, but I also know that if I shut it off, I'm going to kill the very thing that gave me life. If I shut it off, if I intentionally fight against my internal nuclear-powered energy of love inside of me, if I fight it, I risk losing it. And I can't do that. I can't bear the thought. I'm serious. I cannot bear the thought that I would cease to exist short of an experience of love in me and then an experience of love through me. I simply cannot imagine giving into that shallow, dark hole. So that's why I'm here week in and week out, telling you, I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love are simply BS to me. I believe that love alone is the worthy cause of life inwardly and externally. So as we close the broadcast, I want to invite you to a couple of practices. And one is learning how to breathe deeply, because breathing deeply will help you stop from saying stupid things. If you breathe before you speak, it's likely that a few dumb things won't come out of your mouth, because you'll settle your mind and your thoughts, and you'll say, hold it, take a breath, before you retaliate, before you angrily respond, take a breath. So I want, on the count of three, for you to breathe with me. On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can and hold it up against your diaphragm, deep up against your belly, and hold it for a second. Here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. Now, with that cleansing breath, let love be the lightning strike in your heart, and not anger, not reaction, not retaliatory behavior. Let love be the lightning strike to your heart. Now, the second thing we do here to close is I challenge you and invite you to join me in an exercise that it's weird, it's awkward, it's startling, but it's absolutely life-saving. I know it was for me, and still is to this day, that you be able to look at somebody somewhere and say the three most magical, charmed, holy words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. Slow those three words down to a cadence. Slow those three words down and make eye contact. I know, we're so intimacy challenged. We just don't want to intimacy into me see. We're cautious and careful about it. Let's learn to blow some caution to the wind and give some people a startling moment with those words. Whoever you are listening right now, I'm going to dare to just pull these words up through the broadcast, through social media or radio, however you're listening, and say to you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and say to you, listen, I love you. Make it your goal every day to find somebody with whom those words can roll out your heart and into the heart of somebody else. And remember, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. But be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said it this way. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And Randy Dean's telling you, go out there and do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for the beauty of love to rise and shine through you, through me. Doing something beautiful may not change the whole wide world, but it will change the world around you and around me. Let's be those shining lights of the experience of love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been my pleasure to be with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.